Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 181, stanzas 1 through 4. Blessed be the Lord, for us he cares, and daily all our burden bears. Our God is mighty, strong to save. Jehovah frees us from the grave. 1 through 4 of 181. Scripture reading for this evening hour can be found in the Gospel according to John, in the 14th chapter, in the first 14 verses. John 14, verses 1 through 14. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me, that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. So far the reading of God's holy word. We hope to remember in prayer this evening Dustin Griznick, who had surgery this past Tuesday in the hospital in Edmonton. Also, Mr. John Moons, who had a surgery last week and is come home once again. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of earth, we are here in thy house. We are here at on thy footstool. Upon this earth, which thou also didst dwell upon for a short time, and thou who didst become man, and who didst take upon thee all of the afflictions and all of the consequences of sin, so that thou art not an high priest, that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. But thou art now ascended to sit in thy glory at the right hand of thy Father. And thou dost never leave thy church with thy majesty, Godhead, grace, and spirit. And so we have read together out of thy most holy and precious word, that word that thou hast spoken unto thy own disciples before that thou didst leave them, and when thou didst give them that instruction that was necessary for them, and when thou wouldst depart in thy human nature. And so thou didst say that thou wouldst not be very far away. But as they did ask of thee all their questions while thou wast with them, so thou didst invite them to ask of thee all their questions when thou hadst departed, promising to hear them when they would but ask in thy name those things that are according to thy holy will and to thy good pleasure, that we may not in this evening ask amiss, but consume it upon our lust. But Lord, we are in need, each and every one of us, because we are travelers to a great eternity, and by nature dead in sins and in trespasses, and we have no realization of all that does take place in that world to which we are traveling. In whatever way it may be, whether it be well or whether it be woe, then that future world that is so beyond our comprehension, and that we can but read of it in thy word, but we can have no conception of it. And our thoughts and meditations in this world can only dwell upon it by moments. It is too much for us. But Lord, we are traveling unto it with hasty strides, because it is a short time that is given to us here below, and it is an eternity to which we are traveling. And thou now hast gone before thy church, and thou hast promised also to bring them in. And thou hast gone forth in the victory against the prince of darkness. And we may commemorate in this day the crown that has been given unto thee upon that victory, in that battle with that triple-headed enemy. But Lord, thou knowest each one of thy people, and that it seems by times that that enemy has never been conquered. Oh Lord, that thou may stand on the right and on the left of thy people, who do so many times fear, and because of the strength of that enemy, and because of the strength of temptations, because of the strength of the world, because of the sinfulness of their own hearts, and that one day they shall certainly perish, and they shall fall into the hands of Saul.
Lord, that battle that has been won already, but it needs to be received by a true and a living faith. And that not only once, but continually every day. For an afflicted and a poor people who have to fight a warfare and who are not delivered not till the last breath is breathed. And they may go through that last Jordan. And they may also ascend after him who has gone before. And then that a body of sin shall be laid aside. It shall be left behind. And when it shall be resurrected again, then it shall be cleansed in all purity. And they shall be covered with a white robe. And in that place, sin shall never enter anymore. And they shall be delivered from the greatest grief of their heart. Lord, wilt thou put away Satan in this night? And wilt thou cause thy children to receive a little courage? And while they are still struggling in that way, before that they are brought into that heavenly Canaan, that they may receive a little strength upon their journey in this evening, and when they may be given to look up unto thee in that place where thou art sitting, and when they may see something by thy Spirit in this evening of that testimony and that thou hast given of thy certain victory. Lord, that thou may look upon each one of us together. For we must also appear one day before thee who hast ascended on high and who dost sit upon the throne of the kingdom. And what shall that be for us and for our children? Tonight to consider for a moment when thou wilt give it. Those things that are of most substance in this life. Tonight to hear once again as we go upon our short journey. And the seriousness of our life. And then to go from this place as we have come. And never a moment's true sorrow. Never a true tear to fall from our eyes. And never a groan, never a sigh. Because we have sinned against thee. And so to go on. And so in the last day. To be cast away from thee. And forever and forever. For those increased stripes to beat us. With our conscience testifying of the rightness of thy judgment, but our will never coming into agreement with it. Lord, that thou may in this night arrest us. O send forth thy Spirit with power, and work a miracle, O Lord, that we cannot give, not to ourselves and not to one another. And it is so undeserved from our side, each and every one of us. Look on all that are not able to be with us in this evening. We remember especially him, and that is in his own home and has received surgery last week. And thou hast thus far made all things well, brought him safely home again. And Lord, that thou may humble his heart under all thy goodness. Break it, Lord. We have spoken of it together. The impossibility from our side to break our hard and stony hearts. But it is not impossible from thy side. Oh, that this also may never testify against him. And remember him with his wife and family, also the child. He is yet young. And thou hast brought him through another surgery in his life. Awakened him safely again, for which we may acknowledge thee. But thou knowest at the moment all his misery. Lord, help him. And strengthen him with his parents to go through. And may thou bring him safely home again. Bless these means. Remember all that are afflicted. And wherever they may be, there are those that are afflicted in the mind. There are the troubles of the conscience. There is depression. There is despondency. There is rebellion of the heart. There is wickedness that we must experience within. Lord, that thou may cause us to receive true repentance. And wilt thou help in all the needs of mind and body, and when the sufferings can be many. And wilt thou look upon us then in this evening hour. Lord, we are gathered for an hour together under thy holy word. And thou didst say we have read it together. But thou wilt ask in my name, I will give it thee. And Lord, thou hast said it unto those that did not merit it. Thou hast promised it unto those who do not deserve it. We ask it of thee then, in this evening, that thou wilt help us. Not only to bring thy word, but we ask of thee thy blessing, Lord, that we cannot miss, and that we may go from this place, could it please thee, with new hearts, when we are unconverted, and that we may receive an undeserved blessing out of thy heavenly store. O thou that art exalted at the right hand of power, and unto whom is given all power in heaven and in earth, we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 266, 1, 2, and 3. God is King forever. And let the nations tremble, throned above the cherubim, and by all the earth adored. And what follows in all stanzas of Psalter 266.
Let not your heart be troubled. Who is that congregation? It is the Lord Jesus Christ. And to whom does he speak? He speaks unto his disciples. Let not your heart be troubled. Is your heart troubled? How many hearts are troubled in the midst of this world? Because it is a world that is full of trouble. It is full of trouble in an outward way, and we cannot get away from it. No one in this world. It is full of inward trouble. And how is that now for the Lord's true people? What do we read here? The trouble of the heart. That is a trouble that is not unknown to the Lord Jesus Christ. That is so different, young people, with Satan. How is it with him concerning the trouble of the heart? We read of Judas. We know Satan has entered into him. Satan has directed him. Satan has tempted him. Satan has drawn him. And his heart that has gone out after Satan. And his heart was also troubled. And what did Satan say? What is that to us? What is that to me? See thou to that. Is that not different? Look how different now it is with the Lord Jesus Christ. He does not say that to his disciples, see thou to that. No, he says, let not your heart be troubled. Then there was a great compassion for the disciples in the distress of their heart, in the distress of their souls. And what was that distress? What was now the trouble of the heart of those disciples? We read that little children, the Lord Jesus had said, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me. And as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say unto you. They were the words of the Lord Jesus to his disciples. And it was by these words and that the disciples, they are troubled. Why? Because the Lord Jesus, he said there was going to be a separation. A separation between himself and them. Is your heart also troubled? But is your heart also troubled with that same trouble that troubled the disciples of the Lord? What is now more troubling to God's true church than the hiding of the face of the Lord? How many times do we not read this in the Word of God? Hide not thy face from me. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. Is that living also, when you may read in the Psalms, when you may read in the Song of Solomon, of the trouble of that true church? Does your heart also, maybe children, also when we are young, does your heart, that does that ever say,
Amen. Does your heart ever say yes? Does your heart ever burn? Moses, the Lord said to him, that my presence shall not go with thee. I will send mine angel before thee. I will send my representative, but I myself will not go with thee. And then Moses cannot go either. No, then Moses has to beseech the Lord, Lord, if thy presence go not up with us, carry us not up hence. Or what is more troubling to that people when they have to miss that presence of the Lord, that communion with the Lord. And what is now a greater comfort to that people when they may experience that presence, when they may experience that comfort, the voice of my beloved. Behold, he cometh, leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. What did that bride taste? Oh, she tasted a heavenly bliss. A heavenly bliss. Why? Because she may sit with the bridegroom. And in heaven, then we read that there shall be a great supper. And there they shall sit together with him. But that bride, she says for a moment, no, it is not the entire life of the people, but just for a moment. Then that bride may confess that she may sit with him, and that his fruit was sweet to her taste. Or it is just for a moment, and then it is gone again. Why? Because they are still here below. Is that only for people that are older, children, young people? Oh, we have just heard it just lately. 20-year-old boy. And how the Lord, he had planted his fear in his heart. And how last year, how good the Lord had been to him. And now how lately, that boy, he had said, the Lord has left me. The Lord has left me. Or I am not worthy even to enter into the house of the Lord. Is it not so, people of the Lord? So it is in this life. But what does now the Lord say to his people? He says, let not your heart be troubled. And why not? That we wish to consider this evening. Out of the words of our text, which you can find in that portion that we read together, John 14, and thereof the second and the third verses. John 14, verses 2 and 3. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. So far the words of our text. Christ going away from his disciples, first the place
of his going. Second, the purpose of his going. And third, his intention in his going. Christ going away from his disciples, first, the place where he is going. Second, the purpose of his going. And third, his intention in going. In my Father's house are many mansions. Thus the Lord Jesus has told his disciples that he is going away from them. But he has also told his disciples where he is going. Where is that? His Father's house. Thus, children, what is your Father's house? That is your home. And thus, where is the Lord Jesus going? The Lord Jesus is going home. The Lord Jesus is going from that place we read in the Word of God, from whence he came. The Lord Jesus is going back again. Thus we do commemorate year by year Christmas. Then we may commemorate the Lord Jesus coming, leaving the place of his glory, that he may come to dwell upon the earth among his people. And now the ascension that is over against Christmas Day, when the Lord Jesus may now return home again. How is that, parents? When our children, do live from us far from our place, then our thoughts, they are then with our children, far away in the place where they are dwelling. And thus the Lord Jesus, he is leaving his disciples. And then he is telling his disciples where did he is going to be. And why does he say that to them? That is in order that those disciples may think on him in that place where he is. But how is it now with the disciples today? How is it with the disciples of the Lord today that are yet upon the earth? Because it is Ascension Day. Then it is a day that ought to draw the meditations of his church above. That is a day that ought to draw their hearts to that place where we read in the Word of God that Christ is sitting on the right hand of power. And then not only this day, no, but every day. Because the Lord Jesus, he has declared that where our treasure is, there our heart will be also. Thus, what can we say? Where is our treasure? Oh, who can put his hand into his own bosom and take it out clean? And that our treasure, and that is not so much in the midst of this world. Or how is it when we do become old, when we are permitted to become old? And then after we have been building and building and building our treasures here below, and compassing them, compiling them as it were all together, then we become old. And then maybe we have to leave all our treasures while we are still in this world. And then we go into a nursing home. We can take just a few little things with us. and everything else that is left behind that is profitable for us. Because it makes us to know, to experience a little of what is happening in our life. Maybe if we have been very rich and lived in a mansion in this world, then maybe we can afford a place when we become old, which, well, maybe that has two rooms. Or maybe we cannot so afford, maybe it has to be that our bed that is just in that same room, and that the kitchen and our chair is in, that there is only one room. Or what has then the rich congregation more than the poor? After we have built all our treasures, and then soon, or whether it is one room, whether it is two rooms, soon, then also this, we are leaving all behind us. But our finite, our carnal minds, we may speak of it, and we may discuss it together in our carnal minds. They are still creeping in the dust. Every day when we go from the house of God and we go over this world again in the midst of our labors, oh, do we have now more love for this world. And then for what is above, where Christ is sitting on the right hand of God, more love for our treasures, more love maybe for our own family than we have love for the Lord. In my Father's house are many mansions. The Lord Jesus begins to speak about the place that he is going. What is a mansion? Today we think about a very large, a very beautiful house. But actually the word that the Lord Jesus uses here is actually a word that means to remain. To remain. And thus it signifies a place where somebody dwells, where somebody remains. Thus an abiding dwelling place. A dwelling place that is durable. A dwelling place that will never waste away. An abode that is lasting. Thus, the Lord Jesus makes a very special point about the fact that it is the final place. The everlasting abode, in distinction from and over against our dwellings in this world. Thus, he says, I came here for a little while. I came here to sojourn. But now I go back. And I go back into the everlasting habitation. This is already a comfort unto the disciples. Why? Because of their love for the Lord Jesus Christ. It is here the Lord Jesus is speaking to them before his death, before his final suffering. And those disciples, they have heard so much that has made them so discouraged, that has made them so sorrowful, so sad. And now the Lord Jesus may say something about where that he is going. And then he may say something about the fact that it is his Father's house. And thus there may be at least something, because of the love that is living in their hearts, that may be glad for the Lord Jesus. But the Lord Jesus says so much more. Because he does not only say, in my Father's house are mansions, but he says, in my Father's house are many mansions. Thus he says, there is not only sufficient room there for myself, but he says there are many mansions. There is ample place for many beside me. Many mansions. They are distinct dwelling places that the Lord Jesus points out, as if it were, we would say in this world, an apartment for each and every one. Perhaps the Lord Jesus is referring to the apartments for the priests in the sides of the temple. Thus, we know that when the Lord has given the children of Israel the land of Canaan, that they are each one given their own lot that they may dwell in. Thus, there are accommodations. Accommodations for each and every one in particular. Every one, we can read that also they will be swallowed up in God. Everyone swallowed up in that blessed mediator, but each one is still not losing his own individuality. No, we have to be careful that we do not understand this in a carnal way, because we cannot comprehend that which eye hath not seen and ear hath not heard. And the Lord Jesus, he is speaking so often in figures, and so the heavenly things as the spiritual, they are laid out for us in earthly types and figures. Thus, it is not as if we should see this as if there are many cells, each one for the children of God. But the Lord, he speaks about the sufficiency of room, many mansions for each and every one that is ordained unto eternal life, and that there are that there is place for a John, that there is place for a Peter, and that there is place for Mary, that there is place for a Samaritan leper. Oh, he knows exactly who and how many that there are, for there are these many mansions. He knows the names of each one that is to dwell there. There are many sons, we can read, that are to be brought to glory. My Father's house. My Father's house, that is the place where the Father's family shall dwell. And therefore, he says, not only I go to my Father, but he says, and also unto your Father. In my Father's house, there are many mansions, many permanent dwelling places. Jacob, in the end of his life, then he spoke about his life as a pilgrimage. The days of the years of my pilgrimage, he says, are 130 years. Thus, in the end of his life, and then he saw that his life was as one who was traveling upon a short journey, and they did not attain unto the life of the years of the pilgrimage of his fathers. Congregation, how little impression do we have of this, that our life is a pilgrimage, that we have here in this world no abiding city. Jeremiah says, for we are strangers, for we are sojourners with thee. And Solomon, he speaks about our long home. You have home children. You have a home. We all have a home. And maybe we don't think about it too often. But it is not our final home. Where will be your final home? You may live together with your mother and your father today. We don't know how long that is going to be. Or will you live also with them in eternity? And where will you live with them in eternity? Man goeth unto his long home. And now the disciples, they have left everything we need, that they may follow the Lord Jesus. Left all. To follow him who did not even have a place to lay his head in the midst of this world. But the Lord Jesus, he said at one point to the disciples that there is no man that hath left parents or brethren or lands or brothers and sisters for my sake and for the sake of the kingdom of God, that will not receive manifold more in this present time and in the time to come, life everlasting. Why? Because in my Father's house are many mansions. Thus he says, there will be their settled place. When they will come out of the journey in the wilderness, and they will enter into that heavenly Canaan, and from there they shall never depart. Paul says, we know if this earthly house of our tabernacle be dissolved, then we have a building of God that is not made with hands. A building of God which is eternal in the heavens. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Thus the Lord Jesus says, I do not deceive you. I do not deceive you with vain words. I do not deceive you with vain hopes. When I do call you to forsake the world and every former friend, and when I set before you the prize that is at the end of that journey, oh, how Satan does deceive you. And when he says that in this life that you may receive happiness, that in this life you may receive fulfillment. No, the Lord Jesus says, I do not deceive you. I would have told you if it were not so. I do tell unto you the truth. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. Thus he reveals where he is going. And he also says, why? He says, I go to prepare a place for you. So the Lord Jesus is going to do work there. When he has ascended into heaven, then he is going to do a work of preparation. Are we also preparing? When we are going through this world, are we now preparing for that place that we are going to live soon? Or is it all about where we live now? Satan is preparing. Satan is preparing to receive his own. Satan, he is putting the wood on the fire, that he may prepare the place. Satan does prepare by making the conscience more and more to be seared. While we are still in this world, Satan does prepare, and that he may make a man to run to his destruction. And Satan does prepare, in a special way, those who do receive the outward word, because he is preparing many stripes. He is preparing mockery. Then he will say to us in our long home that we had such an opportunity and that we could have bent our knees, that we could have heard that word of God, and we had no desire. And he will mock. Satan is preparing. And who else is preparing? The Lord Jesus is preparing. He is also preparing to receive his own. I go to prepare a place for you. And the Lord Jesus speaks, as it were, in a picture, in a figure, as if he goes before, in front of others, so that he may go first and he may arrive there first, and that he may there prepare a place for those who are going to follow after. When the immigrants came into this country, then they had to make their own homes. When the Pilgrim Fathers came years ago, then they had to cut through the wood, and they had to level the place, and they had to start from the beginning to build themselves a little shelter from the wind and from the storm. They were little shacks. We hear it sometimes when we go from place to place, how that the immigrants, if they could have gone back, oh, they would have gone back. And how that wind and that cold that was blowing through those little shacks. When the Lord brought his people into Canaan, then what did the Lord say to them? He says, now I have given unto you a land for which you did not labor. You never plowed the fields. And when you have come there, there was plenty to eat already. I have given you cities. Those are cities which ye did not build. Thus vineyards and olive yards, which ye did not plant, you eat of them. So that was all prepared for the children of Israel when they came out of the wilderness and they went over that last river. When they went over that last Jordan, and they may enter into that land that flows with milk and honey, and then it was all prepared for them. That was an emblem. And that was a picture, children, of that heavenly Canaan. Because what does the Lord Jesus say unto his people? He says, I go before you now, and I am going to prepare a place for you. Heaven that is prepared for God's church, actually by the Father, from before the foundation of the world. And yet we read that the Lord Jesus goes before his church, that is, to secure admission into this new home. Why is it necessary that the Lord Jesus would go to prepare? Before the fall, that was not necessary. Before the fall, then man could come, could dwell in that presence, communion, holiness of God. After the fall, then it needed to be prepared in order that it may receive that fallen mankind. That was the first thing that had to be done. The first thing was that man had to receive a right to enter into that place. Do you have a right to enter that place? We hear much in this world about rights. And we have a right to everything. Do we have a right to heaven? Many think to have a right to heaven. You hear that congregation in the funerals. And then the families, they are rejoicing. Why? Because there is an assumption that there was a right to enter into heaven. By nature, we have no right. No right. We had a right. We have no right. We have lost our rights. Do we believe this? The Lord teaches this to His people. That is not one of the first lessons. No, that is a lesson that the Lord must instruct His children in. That they have a right to one place. To one place, and that is to be forever and forever cast out of the sight of God. The Lord makes by times His children to agree that that is now right and that I have forfeited every right to enter into that kingdom of heaven. But if the Lord will now instruct us in this, then the Lord will also instruct and show how that right to enter there has been obtained. By whom it has been obtained. How that it has been obtained. Where that it has been obtained. That it has been obtained by the Lord Jesus Christ. That it was obtained not in heaven, but that it was obtained upon the earth, that it was obtained by His active and passive obedience, and that it was declared by the Father in the resurrection of His Son, that that debt was paid, and that life could be given, and that Christ had a right to it, and in Him, and that His church also then had a right to enter into that kingdom of heaven. Thus, that right that was secured by the Lord Jesus Christ already here upon the earth. But that right also needs to be prosecuted. That right also needs to be applied. And that was in His ascension. Thus, He must enter there. Why? Because the people have no right to enter into that place without Him. When He is not there, then they have no right to be there. I go to prepare a place for you. I go to take possession. Possession in your name of that place to which you are given a right. Because I go with the names of the children of Israel as the great high priest into that holy of holies. And with the names upon my breastplate. I go not alone, no, but I go to prepare a place for you. I go there in order to possess that place as your advocate.
I go there to possess it as one that will plead your cause. I go there to prepare a title, the title of your acceptance before the Father. I go there to fit the means for your acceptance. I go there to do what? I go there to prepare for you your wedding garment. I go there to prepare for you a meal. I go there to prepare for you the great supper, that you may eat and that you may drink in my presence, and that it may be forever fulfilled, world without end, that I sit and eat with publicans and with sinners. I go to prepare a place for you that is all contained in it. Paul, he says, it was therefore necessary that the patterns in the heavens, the patterns of the things in the heavens, should be purified with these. What is he speaking about? He speaks about blood. When they had to sprinkle the blood in the tabernacle, in the temple, to purify the things that represented the holy things, they had to be purified with blood. But, he says, the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are figures of the true, but into heaven itself. For what? Now to appear in the presence of God. Is that all, children? Now to appear in the presence of God. So he will appear before his Father. But Paul says more. He says, now to appear in the presence of God for us. For us. That is the prophet that is necessary for each one of us. Let us sing 275, 1, 3, and 4. Thou, O Lord, art God alone. Everlasting is thy throne. Through the ages men shall sing praise to heaven's eternal King. 1, 3, and 4 of Psalter 275.
Thank you.
I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, if this is my task, if this is my work, if this is my errand, if I go to prepare a place for you, shall my task, shall my errand, shall my work be in vain? Shall it then remain unfulfilled? No. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. He will not make his journey to this earth for nothing. He will not earn a right for his people and not grant unto them the fulfillment of that right, fail to do it. Will he build and furnish an everlasting habitation and not bring his children in? Will he labor and toil all to no purpose, with no fruit? Will he now run the race that was set before him, and will he not receive that prize? Will he now go unto his eternal home and leave his own people never to come there? Will he enter in as the head and leave his own body behind him? No. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Well, that he said, whither I go, ye cannot come now. But ye shall follow me afterwards. When shall they follow? Children, when shall they follow? Stephen, when he was stoned, he saw the heavens opened, and he saw the ascended Christ. He was sitting on the right hand of God. There comes a time in the life of God's children that the Lord, he says, it is enough. That the Lord, he says, that warfare is now accomplished, and he is sending a heavenly messenger that he may come to take their soul and that they may be delivered from all their tribulations, that there may be no more grief and no more sorrow and no more pain and no more tears and no more enemies. But that is not all. Because he will come not only for their soul, but he will also come for their body. Because there is coming a time when the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And then we read that the dead, they shall rise first. And then there shall not be only a private entrance, but there shall be a glorious entrance of that entire body of Christ together into their eternal habitations. Why? Why? Christ says it too. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Why? That where I am, there ye may be
also. That is why.
What is congregation, the most beautiful home without our loved ones? Without our loved ones. Ask the widows. Ask the widowers.
Ask the parents that mourn for their children what is now this mansion without my loved ones. It is wood and stone. Our earthly happiness in this world that does not consist of where we are, the conditions in this world, but we do experience it. It is all those whom we love that we may have all around us, all than the simplest dwelling. We may be so happy when we may have all our loved ones about us. What is heaven described as? It is described as a city of pure gold. A city of pure gold, like clear glass, we read, with walls of jasper. It is all symbolic, of course, for us. But it is speaking about an unfathomable glory. A glory that our eye has never seen, and that our ear has never heard, and that our heart has never conceived of. But congregation, when for God's children, the Lord would not be there. When the Lord would not be there, then it would be no heaven. What was now that thing that was so much trouble to the disciples? The Lord Jesus is speaking here to his disciples. And his disciples, they are troubled, they are sorrowful. Why? Because the Lord Jesus had said, I go away. And now a promise of glossy gold streets and cities of gold and glass and walls of jasper. They cannot make those disciples happy with that promise. But there is another promise that can. Because when the disciples left, when the Lord Jesus ascended into heaven, and the disciples returned, what do we read? And that they returned with great joy. With great joy. Thus he left them a promise that indeed could make them happy. Oh, how awful, congregation, is our fall. Why? We have no idea from what we have fallen. We have no idea by nature from whom that we have fallen. We feel not the great separation between God and our soul. But that is now what the Lord gives to feel in that new birth. And then we begin to miss him. Then we begin to miss him whom we have left in paradise. And there is now this missing. Do we know this missing? Because it is this missing which is drawing that people through all trials, through all afflictions, through all discouragements, and through all persecutions to seek that blessed communion with God their Maker. Or it is that missing that is giving that people to cry out, my soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Or it is this missing that is making that people to labor with that law of God. Oh, did you ever see it, young people in your life? A man, a boy, a girl converted by the Lord. Did you ever see that?
then you will see a careful life. Why? You know, I spoke to a man a little while ago. And then he spoke about that time. And you know what he said to me? He said, then everything became sin to me. And then he added this. Also things that really were not sin. That really were not sin. It is that missing, all that missing of him, that wall of separation. Oh, could I break it down? When I see that it is my own guilt, it is my own fault, that there is that awful distance, that awful separation between God and my soul. Oh, then I am busy. Why? Because I do not see any other way. But it is now that missing which is bringing that people into that place of necessity and impossibility, all to make room for a blessed mediator. It is that missing that is so drawing that people, as so that the Lord, he in his own time, may give them hope in the revelation of himself, so that they begin to miss not only their maker, but they begin to love and desire and miss that blessed mediator. Oh, do we know something of that missing? And when the heart may be directed unto that Son of God, and when that true and that living hope may be born in our soul, that through him, we read it together, I am the way, he says. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Oh, may your soul ever so see him. Oh, it is that missing of God by which such a soul is being drawn, and it is now so quieting to that soul when the Lord, he may give that application. Oh, when they may embrace him. Oh, when they may be given to say, he is mine and I am his. And yet, oh, that longing, why? Even the bride in the Song of Solomon, she is making that separation that is in a daily way. Why? Oh, it is her own sin. It is lying on that bed of slothfulness. And then he is departing. And then he is not coming to show his face again. And then that heart, oh, that heart that says, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And then sometimes a desire that they may be rid of it altogether, and that there may be no separation anymore. How many times, people of the Lord, the harps upon the willows, why? Because of the hiding of the face of the Lord, because of our own sin. But what does now the Lord Jesus say to that missing people who are troubled because of that separation? He says, let not your heart be troubled. Why? Because in my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I'm going to prepare a place for you. And I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again, and I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And then they shall never miss him anymore. And so we read in the word of God, they shall ever be with the Lord. O people of the Lord. Paul, he says, I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart, which is far better. But he said, to remain in this life that is needful for you. How many times is that not so in your life? Oh, are we not so altogether too attached to all the things that are here below? And he is sitting at the right hand of his Father, and he sees each one of his own
groveling in all the things of this world, and with a heart that goes out after all of this world. Oh, ought not our hearts to be ashamed when our heart is drawn and we are not leaving and forsaking every former friend, congregation. Do you know this missing? Because if we do not know this missing, we shall also not possess. We shall not possess. Oh, think about it tonight. Go on your knees tonight, because it is a short journey here below. Go on your knees and ask the Lord. Oh, is such a place also being prepared for us? Or is the devil, is Satan preparing to receive us, boys and girls, children, young people? Where are we going? Where are we going? We are going. He is gone. He is gone. And those that love him, that come to love him, he is making a place for them, preparing a place where the grief of the heart that shall never enter in anymore, when all the temptations of Satan, they shall not come there. They shall never fall. They shall never covet anymore all that is here below, but it shall all pass away. But when there is in our heart tonight, when there is in all our life between the cradle and the grave, never a missing of that God, then we shall go to that place. How can it be clear in the Word of God? Then we shall go to that place where we shall be separated from him, world without him. Shall it not be off? Oh, may the goodness of God, may it lead us to repentance. May one word be used by the Lord out of our poor mouth for your conversion. Oh, go on your knees. Say, Lord, I am too tied to the world. I need to become a stranger. I need to become a pilgrim here below. Make me so. Because there is still time, and there is still a day of grace where we may receive a love for him whose goodness none can measure. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we cannot bring it rightly, but oh, convert us. Thou hast said it, Lord. What thou wilt ask in my name, I will give it. Lord, we ask it in this evening in thy name. One person, that it may be for their eternal welfare, dismiss us with thy blessing, forgiving all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. 420, 1 and 2. God shall arise and by his might put all his enemies to flight, and what follows in 1 and 2 of Psalter 420.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.